If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher Radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Cannot overemphasize how important it is to speak well. I'm not talking about your verbs agreeing with your subjects. I'm not talking about having the proper predicates and using plurals where you should and understanding the dynamic differences between certain concepts of English. But I'm speaking about how to speak to empower your life. Why is this so difficult for us? Because as African Americans, we are not prone to speaking positively. One of the practices of my field is doing tests. Someone gives you a hypothesis, something that they believe. And then those of us that deal in areas of the soul, psychology, we have to do tests to prove that the hypothesis is correct or not. And so since we've been studying this faith concept, since we've been dealing with things that affect your faith, and now we've arrived at this section that talks about speaking, I talk to people just to get their concepts. What do they think about themselves? And where did it come from? Childhood is probably your best time. And the reason is because you don't have preconceived notions to fight against. You just have fun. You deal with everything that comes at you without drawing conclusions of dread. And you could fall down and get right back up. In fact, you even like falling down. You slide on ice, you run across the street in front of cars. You have no concept of danger and fear. Because your life has not yet been exposed to all of the negative. Then you start accumulating theories from people, teachers, society, family members. So that by the time you're an adult, your adult life is releasing all that you've had instilled in you as a child. So if you've heard all of your childhood that you're no good, that you're never going to amount to anything, then what do you think your ideas will be when you become an adult? You can't separate yourself from it. The problem with Pentecostal expression is that once we come to Christ, we think that Jesus will immediately erase all of those negative things that have been planted in us as children, and that's not true. He does not instantaneously deliver us from language that has been detrimental. And this is why we struggle so much in personal relationships as well as in our Christian evolution, because we don't know how to speak. This is something that is unique to us as a people. The human race in general, but us as a people, we seem to own the patents on negative speech. Life for us has always been a struggle. Do this today before this day is over. Talk to about 5 people. Just ask them how they're feeling and assess their response.
I'm trying to make it one day at a time, baby.
Out of the 5, you probably will only hear from 1 or 2, maybe at the most, who say, I'm doing great. A few challenges, but it's all right. We'll overcome. It's not intrinsic in us. Jeremiah doesn't help matters much when he says, The heart is desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17:9. He says, the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. And he asks a question. Who can know it? That doesn't motivate you, does it? You get into a relationship with someone and they say, I love you with all my heart. You're in trouble when they say that. Because the heart is desperately wicked. So when they say, I love you with all my heart, you say, whoa, back up. I'd rather you love me with your brain because your heart is wicked. When you look through this Bible, you try to make sense out of the will and plan of God, and you can't, because Isaiah 55, he said, my ways are higher than yours. We serve a God that uses Isaiah in prophetic ministry from chapters 1 through 6, and then in chapter 6, he issues the command, who's going for us? The man has already been speaking, and now God decides to call him. It seems that God does things reverse. He sends the angel to purify Isaiah's mouth and then dispatch him to speak prophetically again for the next 40 some odd chapters. But what happened before time? God is trying to get this man to see that even though I'm using you, you're not fully equipped. I think that same mindset exists today. Even though God uses us in ministry, we still aren't fully equipped because we haven't yet learned how to speak. It is easy to slip back into negative speech when we're angry, when we're disappointed, when life begins to throw us all types of situations that are contrary to our cultural understanding of Christianity, because what we've done, unfortunately, is we've westernized Christianity and we've declared that if God is for me, I shouldn't have any trouble. Why am I going through so much? Why are so many things happening to me? Why am I broke? Why is my body succumbing to sickness? What's going on? I thought God would do something for me. That's a Western concept. In the East, where Christianity really has strong foundations, the question that is asked has nothing to do with God doing for you. It has more to do with what are you doing for God. And so many of us today, unfortunately, we look at God as somebody, the genie in the lamp. You know, just rub on that lamp and he pops out looking blue saying, you ain't never had a friend like me. But that's not God. When you look in this book and you take time to deliberately study the truths and the principles of the Word of God, you will find that many of the situations that you encounter were created by the speech that came out of your mouth. And God's hands are tied because he's made certain promises. And when we begin to understand that God is bound by his word. In fact, in Hebrews, he says he's exalted his word above his name. And he cannot move away from what his word says. And if God has put certain principles in place, he can't back off of them simply because you don't understand them. He sends you to a church where you could sit under a man or woman of God who is required and responsible to teach you those principles so you can break out of the bondage that's been keeping you down for the past 30 years. God is not going to show up at the foot of your bed and drop all types of gifts and blessings in your life. That's not what he's going to do, but he will put you in a place where the servant of God will teach you those principles so that you will learn how to walk in Deuteronomy 28 blessings. If you take the time to look at Deuteronomy 1 through 14, you will see that God has intelligently spoken into every area of your existence. He says, I'll bless you when you go out, when you come in. I'll bless your children, the works of your hands, which means your job. I'll bless your storehouse, your savings account. I'll bless your barns, which you have to give out. I'll bless everything if you just do what I tell you. Now, most of us will take that passage and think that it means the Ten Commandments. But God made that statement as an evolutionary statement, meaning now when we get into the richness of the New Testament, I'm going to give you new principles that are designed to lift your life and to enhance your existence. But you've got to do what I tell you. Don't come together, hear what I'm saying, walk out, and leave things the same way. We have people who come to the church because they need financial help, and we're not opposed to that. But how many times do you need it? I can see once, maybe, you know, but how many times does it become the norm? Because, see, in the back of your mind, unconsciously, not subconsciously, unconsciously, you're going to feel that, well, if I get so low, the church will bail me out. And God isn't saying that. And so when the committee gets together and meets and talks and they try to ask you a simple question, if we do this, will it solve the problem? No, it won't, because you'll be right back there again in 6 months. And pride keeps us from applying scriptural principles. There are some things we need to just cut our losses and get out of. But pride makes us hold on to houses we can't afford, drive cars that we can't afford. And I marvel at the people who say they're in financial difficulty, but they have iPhones. I mean, if you're really broke, you'd have a flip phone. I was talking with Minister Donald Forrest, and I told him that what we're going to do moving into the fall, we have premarital counseling classes for those who desire to take a spouse. And I was talking to Brother Donald, and I said, we're going to have him do one class on financial money management as part of the premarital counseling. That's going to be part. You can't get married until you take a financial course. Amen. We don't need to hear, you know, this is my soulmate, this is my boo, and all this other stuff. No, you got to learn how to manage your money. And he asked me a question that I really had to think about. He said, well, what if they don't do well with their finances? Should we go ahead and marry them? And I said, I don't think so. I don't think we should marry people who come into the marriage with an abundance of debt. Because if you can't manage your money, how are you going to manage somebody's feelings and emotions? God's given us plans. Now, I know some people are upset now, you know. See, now they're going to tell you who you can marry. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you who I'm going to marry. I'm not telling you who you can marry. I'm telling you who I'm going to marry. Because it's foolish to put two people together who both have a combined credit score of 520. Combined. Because we don't think those things are important. We think love is important. Passion is important. No, 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 baby. Money is important. I want you to listen to this. Money is so important that the Bible says it's a defense and it answers all things. And if it were not important, then why would Jesus say where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be?
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
07415A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news! Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord. Praise it.